hands and keep your hands to yourself.
Your hands to yourself, Airtape. Roth Radio. I refuse to keep my hands to myself. I just signed the first of many of these agreements here, Ron. I'm gonna give you the one because you collect some of this memorabilia here. I'm gonna sign it, David Lee Roth, and then I'm gonna print my name, Dave Roth, here, so that it's legible to the arbitrator. Here we go. And then it says
your address.
Address everywhere, anywhere, everywhere, and I misspelled every. I'm the perfect guy for this document here. Actually, there are a lot of people who are wondering if this document is not appropriate for them. And I'm talking to Ronald Scholar, the New York City attorney who invented the pre-sexual agreement that was inspired by the Kobe Bryant case. Lise.
Ron, have you ever used one of these?
No, I don't need it. I don't need it because, first of all, I'm not a celebrity, which is primarily what this was for. And number two, I'm now in what I would consider a stable relationship.
You just admitted that on air.
Okay, but a stable relationship may be based on a piece of paper like this. For me, a relationship, a thing of beauty.
Well, you mean marriage?
The unthinkable.
I wasn't talking about that.
I need a do not resuscitate for that.
Oh, that's a whole nother topic.
Okay. You know what I think? Yes, it certainly is, and we got to bring you back.
Thank you.
I think what's happening in a world that is sped up, that is Red Bulled with designer vodka, that is Vivarined, caffeinated, methamphetamined, cigaretted, and every other drink available, that this document may be the one thing that binds our country together, finally and foremost here. But then somebody brought up, what if you sign the document and somebody changes their plan mid-game? There's really I'm wondering what other folks think about that. Go for Tiffany on the top there. Tiffany, you're on Roth Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave. First of all, I'd like to thank you for some great, intelligent morning radio without the bodily noises. It's fantastic listening to you.
Well, the bodily noises are here. They're just a little farther away from the microphone.
That's okay.
Trust me.
That's okay. My question is, if you're hooking up with a guy and you're both having a couple of drinks, isn't this contract kind of going to be null and void because you're signing it under influence or under duress, or some woman may use, I was starstruck, so, you know, I just felt like I had to sign this. So I think while, you know, initially it's a good idea, there's going to be some way somebody's going to get around it.
Ron?
You know, Tiffany, we're getting away from, you make a good point, but we're getting away from the point here. This is to protect the individual from a false claim of rape. This is to protect somebody against getting arrested, against going to jail, against a lawsuit that could destroy his career, his life, his family. Sure, I mean, these are all questions that are interesting that could come up. But the fact is, if she was starstruck, that doesn't mean he raped her. And that doesn't mean that he should go to jail or be subjected to a lawsuit that's going to cost millions of dollars to clear his name if he wins.
Stardom is a powerful aphrodisiac, but I don't know if it's a culprit.
Exactly.
I think that what she's reflecting on is, now, do you need witnesses for something like this? I myself had an experience with one of these gals, a local gal here, and it was about 5:30 in the morning, and she was kicking the side of the bed saying, hey, wake up, let's go get some pizza, literally. And I said, baby, I'm tired, you know, it's 5:30 in the morning, et cetera, et cetera. She says, you know what, I can call the police and tell them you raped me. And believe me, I came out of that bed like a Pop-Tart on Fast Forward.
I guess she really wanted the pizza, huh?
Yeah, she really wanted the pizza. No, what she wanted was the empowerment. What she wanted was to pull the string and watch Diamond Dave jump. And I did. So I'm wondering if this kind of a document might mitigate that. Now, Lise, you had brought up that it'll cause people to think twice, yeah?
Yeah, it might dissuade something, yeah.
So you think that more guys or more gals are going to want to invoke this kind of a document?
Well, I'm getting the feeling from the way we're talking that you had men in mind.
You
can
have
see
it
going both ways.
Tiffany, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, so what you're saying is if it turns into date rape or it turns into rape or whatever, that the document is null and void, and I'm going to agree with you, and so would any magistrate. But if there's no marks and there's no kind of evidence that says there was brutality or however you characterize it in a court of law, then in fact this kind of document would stand, would it not? No pun intended.
I believe that it would. And even if there were marks, I mean, they could agree to that too. It depends if they were having rough sex or whatever. It's been known to happen as well.
Well, if you've got, she's got marks on her wrists and there's three pieces of red licorice tied together, and the and the fella used four condoms in the, I'm speaking from memory here, and the fella
you
used,
always draw from personal experience.
And the fella used four condoms, first one starting roughly happy hour, last one being involved roughly breakfast, and there was time in between, then this kind of a gig would stand, correct?
I believe it would. And I think that the illustration you gave about the woman wanting pizza at 5:30 in the morning is a perfect, you know, prototype for this, because that exactly is what the type of situation I'm trying to prevent.
It becomes an empowerment issue. It becomes abusive. Okay,
yes, exactly.
It's a weapon that somebody can use and say, if nothing else would happen, I can smear your name. Now, my entire reputation is based on carefully self-generated bad publicity. All the good stuff I wrote. But there are those who run for public office or those who play ball for a living, which are they are quote unquote mentors, archetypes for our kids, right?
You think role models, sure.
Certainly, role models. Yeah. It's just not a word I've usually heard in a same sentence with my name. Tiffany, thanks for calling 866-313-3733. Go ahead on for Tony. Roth Radio, you're on. Tony, are you there?
Hey, Dave.
Yes, Tony.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment about the whole date rape thing. Even if you have an agreement, it's like any kind of agreement. Like, let's say you sign an agreement to buy real estate or something like that. You can always back out of it, you know, within a certain amount of time. So, I mean, this should be no different. I mean, you know, rape is rape.
Well, actually, excuse me, that it is different than real estate where you have 3 days or whatever to back out. Most contracts, you don't have a grace period to back out after you've signed it.
Okay. So you're saying that once this is binding, that that once you've signed this with somebody else, then the only real issue is if there's clear evidence that there was some foul play or some kind of victimization taking place.
Right. It becomes a question of fact for the judge or the jury. And in that situation, it's certainly better to have one of these signed than not to have it.
I'm going to agree with you. What do you think of that, Tony? Are you still there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's good to have it signed, but I mean, give you the right, you know, if she decides to back out, you still have the right to do whatever you want to her, you know what I mean?
Look, oh, of course, you're right.
Look at it this way. If she decides to back out, then it's no skateboarding here, and that's clearly stated. The sign is posted. But it's if you complete your conjugal bliss, or at least a reasonable facsimile.
It's at least one more piece of evidence on your side.
Exactly. It's one more piece of evidence that if you complete the issue, she's not going to show up back in your life once you show up on your first television show and claim, hey, I know him. Is that correct? Is that a fair assessment?
That's correct. And it's also true that, you know, a day or two later or a week later, when he hasn't called her, perhaps, that she gets, you know, angry and decides to say, well, you know what? I feel used. I feel abused. Matter of fact, I feel I was raped.
Oh, yeah. This occurs. I know a gal. You've seen her at a number of shows, Brian, from let's pick a city, St. Louis. And I went to bed with her. And, you know, they say it's not who you sleep with, but who sleeps with you again, who wants to sleep with you again. I discovered that she had a tattoo of me on her ankle. We had a great time. And at least once a week for the last 4 years, I've gotten a great review in the mail from her. You can tell from 30 meters away because the mailbox smells like perfume, okay, like this. And the letters are, I should put them on the internet. These are stellar reviews. Dear Dave, my life changed. You're an amazing at this, amazing at that. I've never experienced anything even remotely. I had a transcendent experience and I haven't even told my husband. Okay. So I said to Lisa, and you know which drawer this is in the kitchen back at the house in Pasadena. Which drawer is it?
It's near the microwave, and it's about the second drawer down on the right-hand side of the microwave.
And that is this girl's drawer, because that drawer is now full of great reviews. I wish my records got as good a reviews. I wish the radio show got as good a reviews, because there's got to be 120 great reviews. Dear Dave, I saw God. I felt the touch of the other world. I feel like I was transported, etc. It's only a matter of time. Now, it's been 4 years. And she's been very patient, but I have not called. And there's only a matter of time before flip-flop. And it turns into, as you expressed. Tell me what it'll turn into.
I don't know what it turned into, but I see why you saved the letters.
This is a real sociological education for me.
You know what? It'll protect you. I mean, you know, you can't say that it was non-consensual with reviews like that.
That's right. And as far as me brutalizing somebody or whatever, look at my reviews. Yeah. You know, there is a bright side to every dark cloud, isn't there?
Silver lining.
That is so funny. But it's only a matter of time before she flips over and goes, "You haven't called me in 4.5 years. What's wrong?"
And then she tells her husband.
Or the husband decides that he's going to enforce something. He's going to force her to something. And it's just a matter of time before I get sued or I disappear off the face of the earth or something. And I now have warned everybody, if I just disappear or something happens, this is the drawer. Go to the drawer, really.
Or the microwave.
Underneath the microwave. Those letters are hot already. Lise, you're making a face.
I almost feel like I should apologize for being a woman.
No, you are a woman. We hear you roar. Vicki, give us a call, 866-313-3733. Vicki, you're on.
Yes.
Go ahead, Vicki.
Well, my comment was, you actually pretty much touched on everything I was going to say, but personally, I think anybody that signs this contract has got to be an idiot.
Why?
Well, how does it protect anybody? And, well, number one is, why would you sign it? Just knowing that, I mean, this is a contract and you're playing with, I mean, who knows what can happen after you sign this contract? I mean, why would you sign something like that when everything could just turn bad and then you're stuck?
Well, with anything that just could turn bad, don't you want to create at least some basis for what was truthfully discussed, at least, whether it was at a club or a restaurant or even at the front door, that there was some discussion of this? You don't think that any of that is credible?
Well, I think it might give you a 1% chance. I'm talking about the man here that has the woman sign this. Might give you a 1% chance. Like, let's say something does go bad and she feels that she's been violated in some way. It may give the person a 1% chance in the courtroom that, you know, because he has this contract, that he can get away with this. But I just think she's got to be crazy to sign it anyway.
As I'm thinking about this, I think there is a type that would sign this. Mm-hmm. Like, I would never in a million years sign this.
Why not
with my experience with lawsuits and contracts and legal documents and...
Yeah, but you're not a lap-dancing, drug-addicted stripper, and I would never date you.
You don't know me very well.
Oh, I'm getting to. And so are about 3.5 million of our closest friends. Roth Radio, I'm David Lee Roth. My courtesan sister, Lisa Roth, and I'm sitting here with Ronald Scholar, who is the attorney who invented the pre-sexual agreement. What an interesting set of calls.
Yeah.
Is there a woman out there who would actually sign this? Give us a call if there's a woman who thinks that this is valid from the woman's point of view. You would never carry a document like this, Lisa, and have somebody sign it?
I didn't say I wouldn't carry it.
Okay.
I would present a document like this. Would I sign one if it were presented to me? Not at all.
Okay. Ron, speak to that.
Well, I could understand that. I can't imagine anybody presenting that to Lisa.
Okay, was that a backhanded clanging compliment?
No,
it was a real compliment.
Okay.
Say nobody would insult you with that.
Because
you are not a stripper working across the street from the Mondrian Hotel or wherever.
Okay. It's designed for a girl who really wants to sleep with Jude Law or a guy like that. And she'll say, "You want me? You
I wouldn't mind
right
sleeping
here
with Jude Law.
She don't want to sign it. She don't get the ride."
David, this is a release. I mean, you go to the doctor's office, you have to sign a release. Suppose you sign a release and then he commits malpractice. I mean, that's a question of fact, too, but you have to sign it there. It's not that different.
I agree with you. It's no different than taking swimming lessons or signing your kids up for daycare or whatever. Troy, give us a call here. Troy, what do you think about this? Roth Radio, you're in the spotlight. Go ahead.
Hi, Dave. This is Troy from Queens.
Yep.
I'm a gay man. I'm just saying, sweetheart, there's no way in the world that anybody's going to sign this. It's a total turnoff.
You know, hundreds have been signed.
What do you mean it's a turnoff? That if you present this to somebody and they go, no way, it's not really true romance? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. This guy's out of his mind. Sweetheart, please.
No. Okay, let me speak to this. Troy, what he's reflecting on is something that happens in and of the moment. He's not talking about a long, protracted courtship where you meet the parents and it's not the wedding scene from Godfather Part 2 where you got to walk in front of the mom and the dad and have dinner and ask for her hand or whatever. He's talking about those of us who truly can't make a commitment. He's talking about those of us who, instead of leasing with option to buy, would rather rent a different car in each city. Am I getting this right, Ron?
Absolutely.
And in terms of that, that is the state of the nation, certainly for a whole age group, somewhere between bar mitzvah age and 52, that this is the crash and burn, crash and collide kind of dating that America's based on. Come on, you're going to watch BET or MTV and go looking for a protracted Mormon relationship? No way. You're going to drink a Red Bull. You're going to go hang out in one place like I would, or a place that Lisa would, and hopefully you're going to run into some gal who says, well, I was going to be a brain surgeon, but my legs were too long. Me too. Can you, you know, and I find the ability to read really of value, especially in those tense moments, like when the waiter hands her a menu. And if we can get through those moments, then I would certainly hand this kind of a document over, because it would almost be expected, I think. Go ahead and talk to, what do you think, Mr. Caller? Are you there still, Troy? We lost him. He's on the internet downloading these. Do you have an internet address or whatever you can share with us there?
Sure. Right? It's scholarlaw.com, scholerlaw.com. Anybody who needs this or wants it, no problem. Contact us. Send us an email. We'll be happy to provide it free of charge. Part of pro bono work, part of giving something back. How about that?
I think so. And this is a real interesting development in a litigating society.
My contribution to society.
This may be what finally binds it together. It's the only thing that addresses the way that we date and hang out with each other, really, in a practical sense. And in terms of, you know, what people say, well, what if things go wrong in the middle? What if you change your mind in the middle? I think this can probably stand, especially if you have witnesses. Certainly none of my friends will ever qualify as witnesses. The usual suspects. My very special, great interview, great guest, Ronald Scholar.
Thank you
so much for joining us, Ronald.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron.
Case dismissed.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thank
you, Ron.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
I'll check you.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
Roth, 6 a.m.
Baby. I'm full of red meat, man. I've been having breakfast courtesy of the Palm here. Palm West gave us breakfast. David Lee Roth in charge. Marge, Lisa Roth, my sister, Roth family breakfast.
Amazing breakfast.
Did you have some of the lobster?
Oh, my goodness. Lobster and scrambled eggs? Get out of here.
Ouch. New York City, live, all the way from Palm West, down on 50th.
With a red meat chaser.
Superstar. Ooh. I'm getting ready for the Friday night here. Time to change the subject a little bit. Deborah Wilson is our special guest up right now. She's the host of TV's Water Cooler on the TV Guide channel. Have you seen this, Lise? Even the ads are amazing.
You know what? I have not, but I know her, and she's hilarious.
She's amazing, and even the ads are spectacular. These days, ads are better than the shows. You've seen the Geico ads and so forth?
Yeah.
These ads are right up there. She's on it Monday nights at 8 o'clock, and it's all the weekend. It's all the week's events. It's the news and groove and everything that's bound to fit in. And it says here, well, I'm going to let her tell her own story. Put her on there. Is she on? Deborah, it's David Lee. Are you there?
Good morning.
How are you, Deborah?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed this morning. How are you?
Where are you calling from before you say you're blessed?
Sitting in my kitchen.
Your kitchen where?
In Sherman Oaks,
California. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and what is it, about 6:30 in the morning? Did you wake up or stay up?
Almost. No, I was out like a light, but I heard the wrong phone ring, and I ran downstairs to get it.
Outstanding. Hey, what do you think of Kanye West as Jesus?
Kanye West as Jesus?
Yeah, on the cover of Rolling Stone. Is this an appropriate costume, or does he belong in a burqa with Mike Jackson?
If Kanye West is Jesus, I need to be Pontius Pilate.
What?
I need to be Simon Cowell. Someone needs to be judged.
Speaking of, what about this kid who showed up that they thought was a girl, and it turns out it's a guy who looks like a girl or whatever? Did he go on the show specifically because he knew he was going to dupe everybody, or was that a legitimate case? What do you think, Deborah?
Well, it was a legitimate case of somebody wanting attention. That's what it really was, because nobody comes as a guy, claims he's a guy, talks like a girl, tweets with his eyebrows like a girl, wears his hair like a girl, his shirt like a girl, pants, belt, and boots like a girl, and must be crazy or on crack to think that they're not going to be ostracized.
If it's
especially when you walk into a room with Simon Cowell, That's number one and number two. And number three, to come on a show like that has been on for four seasons, if you don't know better, then you deserve it.
So what you're saying is you don't know so much about music, but you know mediocre showbiz when it shows up at your door, huh?
Everybody, you know what? If you don't know what the show is about on it, in regards to either music or being ostracized, then you're out of touch.
So what do you think, Deborah? Is this more about like when we go to see a NASCAR race, we're waiting for the crash or the winner?
Not necessarily. We're waiting for both. You know what I'm saying? There is drama and pathos and everything, and people are just waiting for the reality and reality. That's all they're waiting for.
What do you think?
Waiting for to see what happens, but they're also putting somebody up on a pedestal so they can knock them off to feel better about themselves at times as well.
Isn't the Oprah Winfrey show starting to take that kind of a thing? You're familiar with the guy from who wrote A Million Little Pieces, and it turns out that he fabricated most of the book. Are you familiar with that story?
Oh, absolutely, I'm familiar with the story, and she at one point praised him on Larry King Live by calling in and then ostracized him on her own show.
He's
a liar.
but if the book is good, does it matter if it reads good?
Yes, it matters because he's a liar.
I love the way you say that.
I think there's a female you out there.
Uh-oh.
You know that because he's a liar. That's what it comes down to. It's black and white.
Okay, that's amazing stuff. What kind of material do you folks are you serving up on your new show here, Deborah?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of like talk soup. It's a little bit of wrap up. And at the same time, what makes our show different from any other show that talks about television or film is that we really get the opportunity to banter back and forth and tell the truth.
Oh, so you guys...
Always like it, but we really, they hired us because we have big mouths and real opinions.
And how long has the show been on? Is this just starting up now for you?
It's just starting up. This past Monday was our first episode, and prior to that, the Wednesday before that was a sneak peek.
That sounds cool. It says here also that you're an animal advocate. What kind of animals are you advocating?
All. I work from everyone, or I volunteer with everyone from the animal sanctuary to my God, it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
It's no problem.
Farm Sanctuary is actually coming up in May 20th in New York, and there's a one that I do, Pet Orphans Fund, in Van Nuys, California.
Oh, that's, how long have you been doing that?
For about 6 years.
Okay, let's bounce around for a little bit more, a little bit more dish. What about Nick and Jessica? I see that Jessica Simpson is starting to bounce around, and she just spent the night in somebody's hotel room.
Maroon 5, lead singer.
Woo, she's married. She married up.
Allegedly.
Like they say in Virginia, she married up.
she's a kid. They're young. She's rebounding emotionally and psychologically. That's all it is.
Okay.
You know? I mean, we're going to turn it into gossip, of course, because it is interesting. But at the same time, if this were somebody else's life, it would be a standard Psych 101.
I don't think it's her life. I think it's her father's life that we're bearing witness to. Can you speak to that?
Well, it's not her father's life. I think to a certain extent she stepped away from that. Are there still strings attached? Absolutely. But at the same time, she's doing what she's doing because it's her rebounding. You know, she's young.
She's a young woman,
so she's going to rebound certain ways. You know what I'm saying? And her father certainly didn't advocate it, although I consider him at times a pimp.
There is a little bit of Mr. Jackson in there, huh? There's a little bit of that. I always get a little suspicious when Pop trades up a little faster than the kids, because now Dad's got the new haircut, and he's got the new teeth, and he's got the earring.
The stud.
Lisa,
that's
called bling.
Yeah.
He's a stage father to his heart's content. That's all.
That's interesting. That's going to be interesting to see how those two girls develop here. Do you think that anorexia and bulimia are actually fashion accessories now?
I pray to God not. Because I've actually had friends go through that. I pray to God not. I'd tell them to trade in the bulimia for another chihuahua, please.
Or at least put something a little more compelling down your throat than your finger.
Because even though it's very physical on both ends, it really is a psychological thing, and it's almost expected nowadays from people like Nicole Richie and others. It's a drag, and it's sad.
Okay, let's shift along here, and you just mentioned some of my faves there, at least one half of. Do you think that Paris Hilton is really a celebutard, or is she my new spiritual guru?
No, she's a celebutard. Deservedly so. It's like Pam Anderson. Pam Anderson's a success because she didn't say she wanted to win an Academy Award. She said she wanted to be blonde, have big boobs, come to California, and be a living Barbie doll, and she did. And she's a success. She's smart.
Okay, well, a celebutard defies that definition, doesn't it?
Not necessarily, because she knows what she is. She can pretend anything else she wants. She knows, and everyone else knows that too, you know what I'm saying? So everyone else is concurring as well exactly to what she is. Nobody's thinking she's smart. There's no one out there in the world that thinks Paris Hilton is smart. No one in the world thinks that she's a real celebrity.
That's...
Every one of those members of the family are hotel heirs. That's all they are.
You take a very convicted view on this. But I feel
because
that
it's true. She, her celebrity is based on money. It's not based on talent.
Okay, I'm going to buy that. Are you a Marilyn Monroe girl or a Pamela Anderson Lee girl?
You know what? They're two separate people, and they really are two separate people because you know what? The times have changed so dramatically. The times have changed so dramatically that the comparison nowadays is getting thinner and thinner and thinner with the way media has changed.
Well,
you know,
I think
both, we can make the simple comparisons, but there are so many more complexities than most people realize.
Well, let's examine some of those complexities because they both occupy the queen's role to some degree, arguably, in our culture. They both kind of represent, you know, it's the same chair, so to speak. And
But not really. And here's where the real big difference came in.
Please.
Marilyn Monroe, there was still an innocence to her. She was still being manipulated by Hollywood. She didn't make as many films. She didn't get to become an entrepreneur. She didn't get to own anything like Pam Anderson does. She didn't write books. You know what I'm saying? And on that level, she's a mystery because of her death.
Okay, hold on. Even though she didn't write books and she didn't market products and so forth, she hooked up, so to speak, with the three greatest players that America had to offer, at least that our culture was sponsoring.
Phenomenon.
Hold on one second. It was Joe DiMaggio, uh-huh, who was the All-American sports player, Arthur Miller, inarguably one of the greatest playwrights in the history of the sport, and then, of course, the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy.
And Robert.
Okay. Well, hey. All the news that's fit
Trump to... was a quadruple threat in that department.
Okay. Now, Pam became a dynamic postmodern contributor to the culture. She wrote books. She's done articles. She leads charities, etc. And she's managed to sleep with Tommy Lee, Kid Rock, and the guy from Poison. What does that say more about our culture?
But here's the thing which you're missing. It's sort of standard in our culture to a certain extent. Look what she looks like. And at the same time, because she is entrepreneurial and still alive, we can follow her life or not. With Marilyn Monroe, she became a mystery. She became an iconoclastic when she died.
Well, would you agree that both of these girls are short stories for those of us who don't have the time to read?
No, because Pam Anderson still got more chapters to come.
Okay, good call. I like the way this girl thinks. You're listening to Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth. You're also listening to my sister, Lisa Roth, and we got some very special guests here. So go ahead and tell us, what subject matter would you think is the most paramount now for us to discuss here, my dear?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Well, there are a lot of stuff, but, you know, you don't want to get into politics, you know, because that gets too complicated at 6 o'clock in the morning. You don't want to get into religion. And there are so many things we can talk about. Let's talk about my breath.
Is that Catholic breath?
They're very pretty. I have, like, areolas the size of, like, chocolate chip cookies.
Like twin Nike missiles aimed at my lion little face.
My breasts are good with milk. They're pretty. They look really hot.
I can't possibly.
You silenced my brother.
No, she didn't silence me.
I have my cashmere sweaters, one size smaller.
She didn't silence me. I just can't say what I'm thinking. Careful, I read thought bubbles. Do you have a question for Deborah, Lise? You got that?
I'm silenced.
No, this is a great ad for her show. Deborah hosts...
No, this is great.
She hosts the TV Water Cooler on the TV Guide channel, and that's on Monday nights at 8 o'clock. She's been 8 seasons on Mad TV. Go ahead, Lisa.
No, I would just like a sample of some of the things you're talking about on your show.
Yeah,
name it, we're talking about it. And not only that, but we also get the opportunity to get on a lot of guests. Once a week, we have a celebrity interview from someone from pretty much a major show. Just recently, we had Adewale Akinade.
Sure.
Who was from Lost, Mr. Echo on Lost.
Sure.
It took me a couple of times to pronounce his name right.
Is it?
But he's an amazing actor. He also used to be on Oz. So we get a chance to really do some really cool interviews and talk fluff as well as talk serious, you know. And it's been really good so far. It's been a great experience helping to develop some of the material that's going to go on to the show and at the same time making sure that it stays timely.
You guys got envision.
We break it down. We will do an item, and then the next thing you know, we leave that item alone, and we're bantering back and forth. we're with our real, solid, serious opinions about it. And then we'll do another item, and then we're bantering back and forth. So what makes it interesting is every break, every second that we break from what we've just mentioned to the audience, we are bantering back and forth about it.
Deborah Wilson, my very special guest, host of TV Water Cooler on the TV Guide channel. Woof, she's got a tempo and a half. I can't wait to see this show. Deborah, thanks so much for joining us here on Roth Radio.
Thank you.
God bless you. Shoot, summit or plummet to the top or drop. She's going. That show's going through the church ceiling. Did you hear that rhythm?
Oh, yeah. She sounds like you.
Outstanding. You want to say something before we go to the commercial?
I was just going to say, I'm going to watch this.
Put the TV set on now, baby. Yeah.
David Lee Roth, mornings.
Welcome to Club Dave. Dave. Well, it only rains when we say so. Club Dave, へようこそ。ここでは私たちが雨を降らせます。
Play it, Brian. Well, it's Friday. Actually, the weekend starts in just a couple of minutes. David Lee Roth here on the Roth Family Breakfast, Roth Family Christmas. Lisa,
yeah.
you're a few minutes away from the end of your first week in history-making radio. How do you feel? How do you feel you did?
I'm feeling very emotional.
You got more emails than I did. Half the fans want to sleep with you. Nobody wants to sleep with me.
Believe me, my real life is not like this.
I'm going to have to get you a stack of those pre-sexual agreements or whatever. You're not going to be able to make it out of the building here.
I've already got them.
You've already got groupies.
Yeah.
This is amazing. My sister Lisa, who joined us here for a week's worth, what are you going to do for the weekend night here? You're here for tonight, right?
I'm here for tonight.
You want to go get a drink?
Sure.
What would you drink? What would you order?
Oh, gosh, I'm into this Red Bull. I have to have it with a little vodka, I hear.
Bacardi, down where I live.
Nah, I don't drink.
It's mente mano, baby. You got to just throw the dice. Take a chance, no?
I like my liquids clear.
I was reading about the evils of drinking, and I decided to stop reading. 24 hours in a day?
Mm-hmm.
24 beers in a case? Coincidence? Perhaps. This has been an amazing week, huh?
Oh, I'm
great guest.
Yeah.
Great guest. Took you up in the helicopter, etc.
Oh, come on. I mean, besides the helicopter, how many people have the opportunity to do this? This is a dream fantasy for me, and I want to thank you for the memory.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Animal, are you going to stick around? You're going to do another week's worth with us here?
You know it, boss, man. I'm going to be here as long as you want me, man.
Outstanding.
You know I'll be here, you know.
We're starting to catch our stride. This ends the first month of making radio here. How many years did I wait to do this? You remember KPPC back like in the sixth grade, Lise? The first underground FM radio station?
Yeah.
And that was when Big Daddy Tom Donahue back in the mid-60s would come on and you go, welcome to... Roth Radio, and just a little heads up, we'll be broadcasting in stereo pretty soon. And that was when it changed over from screaming top 40, which was hopping and popping and popping with the best bet for the boss, beat at the top of the pop, smash gold with the timely tunes for those of the textured taste of the Roth Family Breakfasts.
We listened on little transistor radios.
Now you listen on your iPod, you listen to your telephone?
No, I'm actually in the radio studio.
You used to think that little people were, now you're one of the little people in the radio. And now you get to actually see what I do for a living. It's kind of like watching somebody have a nervous breakdown in slow motion.
Yeah,
huh?
I've been watching you make a living in all along,
huh? This is the next phase. What do you think? Is this a good look for me? Should I keep this gig?
I think this is an amazing gig, and I think you're built for it.
This has been spectacular. There's been some really good fights up here, too. All kinds of good stare downs and everything, and now there's been a great healing, and everybody is all headed north in the same direction and everything. Did they offer you a job?
No.
Because
that's understandable.
A lot of the emails have been saying that you should stick around.
I have gotten some really beautiful emails, I have to say.
Well, beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. It's also proof that we can find our cell phones in the dark, even while inebriated. Who was your favorite guest this week that we talked to on the phone or that we discussed?
I liked a number of them, but the most moving one was the singer.
Oh,
Natasha
Bedingfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, she really has a voice, huh?
Yeah.
She's got a real presence. And, you know, the videos are working, et cetera, et cetera. But she came in here and just did an acoustic thing, like at 7:30, whatever. The fellow was playing the guitar, and it just sounded super live, like live on the BBC early days or
it
something,
was
huh?
Stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, she's going to go places, huh?
Yeah.
What about Randy Couture, UFC? Are you going to watch Ultimate Fighting now?
I am. I'm very, very curious.
You used to take karate.
I did. I took martial arts.
How many years did you train?
Until it hurt.
You trained with Dad for a number of years, didn't you?
No.
But he had a whole class coming down.
I trained because he insisted.
Oh, okay. Well, you should have signed an agreement. He forced you into it. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Should we have my sister back? Give us a call. Let us know. Because you're like the yin and yang here. You know what my flight instructor, Paulie, told me in the helicopter after you got out? He said, "What, listening to the radio when your sister is on? She sounds like a therapist," he said. "And you sound like somebody who needs one."
But wait.
Yes.
This is my going away party, right?
Yep.
And parties should have games, right?
Sure.
Let's play a game.
Okay.
Let's have the audience call in. And they can, because I want them to get to know you the way I know you.
They
can ask anything they want.
Yeah, and they have about 7 minutes left to do this.
Oh, too bad. But I was going to say, you have to answer, and then I tell the truth.
Okay, so.
Oh, I like this.
So this is a truth or dare kind of thing.
They can ask you anything they want about you, your thoughts about anything, your philosophies. You answer.
You're springing this on me. Okay, I'm going to go
and
for this.
I'll tell the truth, but I guess we don't have enough time.
Well, certainly not enough time to tell the really good stuff. 866-313-3733. My sister Lisa Roth is sitting with me, the human lie detector.
I am.
Animal, you got a question for me that you want to hear the real answer to?
Yeah, I got one.
Go for it. Go ahead.
Why did you keep your house so cold in the wintertime, man?
Because I learned that on the David Letterman show, that if you keep it nice and cool in there, that when you wake up right away. And that when you get on the phone, you get on the phone right away. You don't drag around when it's time to put your socks on in the morning before school, so to speak.
Man, I'm telling you, your house is so cold, man. I was like there in the wintertime. I'm like, well, at least I can rent in the house and get warm. Shit, I might as well stay outside.
Animal came to your house in California to help me. Do you remember? Just like a month ago.
Okay.
You have a very large house with a lot of rooms, and every single room has a fire alarm.
Right.
With the batteries.
Sure.
And all the batteries started to run out at the same time.
Gotcha.
And so I would be running around that house looking for the frickin' alarm. And yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it sounded like. And I said, Dave, I called you in New York. I said, I need help. I got to change the batteries in the alarms at your house. And you said, ask Animal. If he comes, you won't even need a ladder.
That's exactly what happened, right?
Yeah. Yes, and Animal and I, we got to know each other very well.
Yeah, we changed them out and stuff, man. Matter of fact, you have two different kinds of alarms in your house, too.
We had
battery problems or something, like wrong batteries or something, wasn't it, Lisa?
Yeah, there's always
technology. It baffles me as well.
And your basement.
It baffles me as well. 866-313-3733. If you got a question here for Lee, put Lee on up there. I have no idea what the question is, but go ahead there. Lee, you're on Roth Radio. You're in the spotlight. Go ahead.
David Lee Roth,
yo,
man, dude.
D-Row in the house.
I've been following you since, Jesus Christ, in 78, man.
It's a stalker.
And your personality rules the show, dude, and your sister should stay. She's great.
Got a question for her?
Yeah, how does David and the Van Halen brothers really get along?
Go ahead. Share it up.
Oh, no, the question goes to you. You answer, then I tell the truth.
Well, can you define get along? No, actually, I called Alex a few months ago and said, "Hey, this is an inevitability." Too many syllables for one call, but I said it's an inevitability. I call the guys at least once or twice a year. We either call their management or I put out a call, hey, give Ed a shout out that I'll give him a buzz or whatever. But apparently, there's still a hurt feeling or two wandering around out there. You know, for me, it's come on, how hard is it to sing, play Running with the Devil? You know, Lise, go ahead and answer.
You know what? This is no fun because you just told the truth.
That is the truth.
That is the truth.
I don't have hurt feelings over the Van Halens or whatever. You know, they're again, just like the radio show here, a lot of good stare downs, a lot of raised voices, a lot of hurt feelings, and then we play Running with the Devil. Sorry, Animal. Go ahead.
I saw the top 40 breakups in rock and roll. You and Van Halen came in as number one.
Numbers 1 through 4.
Oh, you and Hagar was 25.
We were never in a band together, although Sammy would claim differently. Go ahead. Put the caller still on. Go ahead.
It's not about remembering and forgiving and forgetting. It's about remembering and letting go. This guy's got to lighten up.
I agree. I think that life is real short. And how long are you going to wait until somebody like Freddie Mercury passes on and ruins the dream of everybody who's left behind and everybody in the audience? How long are you going to wait before somebody catches something terrible or? Because we've all lived our lives not just burning the candle at both ends. We took a Junior Miss flamethrower to our candle. And in terms of the kinds of energy and so forth that we had in Van Halen, spectacular stuff. I've got a demo of 5 tunes that we finished. Sounds like it's right off of Van Halen 1. That is so rare. Usually when a classic rock band gets back together, like the Stones or whoever, the result is a little disappointing. You know, one of the few bands who doesn't do that is U2. But routinely, they come back and it's tired sounding and it has not aged well. This is a band that stayed focused. Think about it. In a certain sense of the word, Eddie Van Halen was never married. He wore the ring, but he was always focused and married to the idea of the audience, just like I was. And if this band glued itself back together, even for 100 days on a summer tour, I guarantee you, we would sell you back your youth. How much is that worth to you? Roth Radio. 866-313-3733. How much is it worth to you to get your youth back, Lise?
Ah, oh, jeez.
When you hear it in a song. A song will make you feel young and invincible, doesn't it?
Yeah, music does that.
How much is that worth to you, huh?
A lot.
Okay. Clifford from Philadelphia emails. He says, I hope you do the classic album reviews every week. Love the bit on Queen, etc. These are people reflecting on exactly the subject he was talking about. Hey, Dave. This comes from Rock Island, Illinois. Tell Lisa that the best drink to have with Red Bull is Jägermeister.
Oh, goodness.
Jägermonster, we call that, right?
Yeah, Jägermonster.
You don't like Jägermonster?
No.
I may actually have one of those. Just taking on advisement from the emails here. And here we go from Norway. Danny from Norway. Hey, guys, have a great weekend. And the show is getting better. Okay, you deserve a nice big party. Congrats. I'll have a drink for you.
Aww.
It's Friday. It's Friday around the world, huh?
Yeah.
You want to make a cut there?
You know what? I'd like to hear that Natasha Bedingfield session we did earlier.
You want to finish up on that?
Close the show, eat some palm steak, maybe
again,
a little bourbon and coffee.
Thanks so much to the Friends of the Palm there from the Palm West.
Thank you, the Palm. Thank you, my brother, for the memory.
Lisa.
Thank you for everybody here for being tolerant and lovely.
You got to come on back and visit us. Roth Radio, I'm David Lee Roth. That was Lisa Roth.
Oh.
God bless you all. We'll see you on Monday.
Yeah, baby.
Who I am is what